good to be back. Unfortunately, being sick is terrible. I don't know. That thing's on. It's all right. So have you guys heard the quote? I mean, this is actually interesting that we sang that song, Is Your Heart Right with God? Because that's what we're kind of going to talk about today a little bit. Is we're going to talk about time and how we spend it and how we are a good steward of it, or how we're supposed to be. Like all other gifts that we are given by God, this is one of the most crucial ones, in my opinion. But we'll see what God says about it. But have you ever heard the quote, yesterday is the past, tomorrow is the future, but today is a gift, and that is why we call it the present. Again, that is a gift from God. So it's a wonderful little phrase that we should coin and remember. So this morning, we're going to talk about how he has blessed us and how we use that time in a manner which, as we were talking about this morning, in a manner which glorifies God. Everything that we have from him is a gift so that we can be able to glorify him. And we're going to look at some examples here. And in these examples, they're going to apply to any of us, whether it be myself as a preacher or any of the preachers out there, Sunday school teachers or Wednesday night teachers or whomever it is, even if you're just a student of the Bible, these apply to you. So keep in mind, pay attention. Some really good information here. So God, the one thing that I hear a lot of folks say is, I just don't have enough time. I can't read my Bible tonight because there's just not enough time. I'm so busy. But here's the thing. God has given each and every single one of us the exact same 24 hours every single day. We all have the same amount of time. It's how well we prioritize things and look at things and figure out what is important to me. What is more important, putting God first or this other activity? And we're going to look at those things. So hopefully we can reevaluate some things in our life and fix them, get rid of them, or at least alter them. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, because that's where we're getting our topic from. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. It says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We have a responsibility to redeem the time. Now, here's a little difference between time and money. Money we put in the bank, we save it, we try to save up for something. But the word redeeming here, it means we cash in now. Every opportunity we have to serve the Lord, that is now. That is not later. That is not 5 months down the road. Redeem the time now. Time can easily slip by us. We can all imagine that. We've all seen that. And there's many examples we can think of. But we need to take the time that we have to understand what God wants from us. Look at again that verse 17 says, "Wherefore ye be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." If we're not taking the time to study, to look at God's word, we're wasting valuable time. Wasting precious moments where we could put ourselves closer to God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4 is where we'll be at. We're going to just look at the first two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "Let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So the word, in the King James at least, says minister. Now, when a lot of people, they want to apply, and even my little business card, this says I'm a minister. But this isn't what the word only means. It does not just mean the person that is up front preaching. The word itself, let's take a look here. It says, by definition, is simply one who serves. That could mean any of us. And if you don't believe that, look at this. Who are the stewards of the mysteries of Christ? That would be every single person that has taken the plunge those that have been baptized into Christ, all of us have a duty to study, to read, to not waste our time, but to glorify God. And look at that, verse 2. It says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We know, we look at Romans 10:17. We've seen that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are we going to be proven that we're faithful if we're not studying, if we're not reading? A steward is required to show that he is faithful. Think about that when you take your time and do things and plan your day. Maybe you should plan for God too. Make the time for him. Make the time to be with your family and show him and show that you are faithful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're already there. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. It says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." Again, we were talking about this morning, how the preacher was glorifying himself. Look at Paul here. Wrote most of the New Testament here for us. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory for." He didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it to get praises by men. "For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Read that a little bit closer. Paul is saying if he had found himself doing anything else but preaching the gospel after learning the gospel, woe would be unto him. This was his calling, if you would want to put it that way. He could not see himself doing anything else. Verse 17 says, "For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." He's doing it of his will. He has a reward. Think about that as our example. Paul's studying, Paul's teaching, Paul's spreading the word. What's his reward? Heaven. What's your reward for studying? What's your reward for spending time with God? What is your reward? It's also heaven. You have that same opportunity that Paul had. And look at Paul. Once he became a Christian, what did he do? He spent the rest of his life serving God. Not a moment went by that he was not serving God. It's going to take time out of our hectic schedules to sit down, to study, be with our friends, or be with family, and even be with friends if you want, and study. But it's a requirement. It's not just something we can scoff at or just the preacher talks about and says, okay, you got to do this, and okay, I'll go home and never mind. It's not like that. Now, one of the misconceptions is certain people know certain things more than others. So I'm just not good enough, and I don't have to read my Bible because I'll just never be as smart as them. You go talk to those people, and each and every single one of them will tell you that they were in your shoes at one point in time. They had to start somewhere too. As the phrase goes, Rome wasn't built in a day. Neither is your knowledge of the Bible. You're not going to learn all of it in one sitting. If you can read that fast, that's more power to you, but you're probably not going to absorb as much as you should. Thinking you're not good enough or thinking you cannot do it, that is Satan working against you. Do not let him discourage you from doing what is right, from spending that time in God's word. Spending that time with your family in God's word. It is very, very important. Again, it is a requirement. It'll take time and it'll take dedication. And that's how you prove to be a faithful man, as that previous verse talked about. Do we recall that when we were baptized, we no longer became our own? We were no longer ourselves. We became bought with a price. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now. When we became a Christian, we became the bride of Christ. Not our own selves, but we became something else. 6, 9, and 10. Now, we often use this as a verse to show that our body's a physical temple, and we'll look at that a little more. So 9 and 10 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves and with mankind." Yes. Sorry, I'm ahead of myself here. nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I am reading the wrong verse. That's okay. We'll look at it again. I'll look it up later. We have the verse in the Bible that talks about our treating our body like the holy temple. And our bodies now belong to God. They're no longer our own. We may be flesh still, but it is not our own. We are to treat that as a holy temple, as a means to glorify the Father. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We talked about before needing to feed our spirit, and how we take care of that spirit is dependent on how well we focus on God's word. We talked about when we were looking at the Beatitudes here in Matthew chapter 5 that the poor in spirit does not mean somebody that's financially not well off. Let's read verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." These are people that are not poor in financially. They can be. It's not what it's implying. It's referring to people that have admitted that they cannot go through life without Christ. People that admit in their life that no matter how hard they struggle, no matter how much they study, enough's not enough. There's always more to be able to better ourselves, to glorify God with. These are the people that are poor in spirit. And those people that are studying God's word more often, getting involved, they're the ones feeding their spirit. And when their spirits, and our spirit is constantly hungry. And like our bodies, if we don't feed our bodies, it'll decay. If we're not studying, our spirit will decay. We must always, until our dying moments, be prepared. Romans 14. Romans 14, we're going to look at verses 6 and 8 here, 6 through 8. Romans 14, it says, "He that regardeth the day, regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." We're no longer our own. We're going to look at a couple other verses that say pretty much the same thing. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. And that comes with many, many sacrifices on our part. Even that little 10, 15 minutes, maybe even more, to sit down and study. You can do it. You can do it. God did not tell us anything too complicated to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Go back there. Chapter 7. If we aren't taking that time that God's given us, if we're putting them off until tomorrow, or we're putting them off until next week or next month, so forth, in essence, we're denying him. We're not glorifying him. We're saying, "God, you're wrong. You're not important enough to me." Folks, that's not a good ending. You put off God, you put off him, you will also be put off. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, it says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." And we're talking about slavery here a little bit there in that passage, but we are no longer our own. Regardless if they were servants or if we are free men of our own, first and foremost, we are Christ's. We are his, bought with that price. Continuing on, you may think of several examples that we were talking about earlier about time slipping along But personally, I recall a time when, you know, I was in third grade. I remember the problems I had to deal with, the schoolwork that I had to do, the bullies that picked on me, and so forth, and the things that I had to do. And it just seems like yesterday to me. But today, I'm having to deal with it with my own little boy. Time can slip by in a blink of an eye. Time is our enemy, if we are not using it properly for God. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get grain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Now, one of the phrases we say, oh, I'll see you tomorrow, we don't know if tomorrow's coming. The phrase that we're told to say here is, Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Or, Lord willing, I'll see you later. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know. Christ himself told us that he would come back like a thief in the night. We have to be prepared right now. Time is of the essence, as it's said. As Christians, the phrase that we've, and I'm liking to use a lot of phrases today, it seems. So the phrase is, why put off till tomorrow what we can do today is very applicable. We are to handle today as it comes. Not worry about yesterday, its troubles are gone. Not worry about tomorrow, but worry about today. Worry about today. Are we serving God today? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. We're looking at verse 1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. See, it's been written there for a while now. Why wait for the right time to come? Oh, I'm going to wait till my job settles down. I'm going to wait until you fill in the blank. Any excuse that you can think of to put off God's word, why wait? We don't know that tomorrow will be here. Do it today. Serve God at your fullest capacity today. Do not wait. As Christians, we talked about it a little bit this morning as well. When we look for anything as an example, we always look to Christ. And we're going to do that right now. Let's go to John chapter 9. Christ is obviously the best example we have on not wasting time. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Christ knew full well there would be a day when the gospel can no longer be spread. That's the day of judgment. And he knew from the time he started his ministry, or even before that, that he had to get the work done. He knew full well that he didn't have long himself physically. But he knew he had to serve his fullest capacity until his last moments. You want to talk about a man that didn't take a day off? He served until literally his dying breath. We romanticize that so much. Is that, oh, we're going to live for Christ until the moment we die. Do we take that literal? And our last dying breaths, are they ones which serve God, which glorify God? Let's look at Luke chapter 23. We recall the account when Christ is up there on that cross. chapter 23, verses 39 and following is what we'll read. It says, "And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Now remember, there's two thieves up there with Christ. They're talking here. "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation?" Look, we're in the same boat that Christ, the innocent man, this Messiah, is in. Do you really think we're going to get off? No. "And if we indeed justify, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." He is admitting full well that he's done wrong in his life. That same moment when we repented, when we confessed, we did the same thing. We've done wrong in our lives. We want to be right. We want to be right with God. We want to be right with Christ. He says, "I've been up there. I'm up here for a reason. And I deserve to be up here." You know what? You and I both do too. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was all about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." I went a little further, I believe. It's okay. His last dying moments. Christ was serving God. Christ was glorifying God. Think of the beating he took. Think of the blood loss. Think of the pain and the agony he was in. And yet he still wanted to serve God. He still wanted to glorify him. We need to be like that. No matter what life throws at us, however beaten down we feel, glorify God. Let's continue on. Could you imagine, though, just take a step back for a moment, if Christ had said, God, give me 5 minutes. I don't want to deal with this right now. Could you imagine if he took a moment like that, where sometimes we do as well? Would that have been the Messiah? No. He would not have been the one. Again, we've romanticized too much sometimes, living until we're dying breath. We need to take it literal as Christ. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." He didn't quit until the moment of his death. He gave up. He chose. He knew this was it. His very last breaths, serving God, glorifying God. Can any of us say that we work as hard as he did? I think we all can honestly say that we got room to improve. We all do. Christ worked hard. Christ. What a wonderful example there. Paul is also an excellent example, and we looked a little bit at him already. But he was an example to preach to others, to not be ashamed no matter where we are, to talk about God, talk about Christ, to glorify God. Romans chapter 1. We'll look at this quickly. Romans chapter 1, 14 through 17. It says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith." Think about this at time. What Paul was dealing with, the persecutions, the hatred. Paul said he wasn't ashamed. Paul didn't matter where he was, God's word was going to be preached. God was going to be glorified in all of this. Paul was not ashamed. Paul, as we saw before, he couldn't see himself doing anything else other than living for God. Brethren, we need to be like that as well. Our two examples are great. As we talked about earlier, money is not like time. I cannot take time and store it in a bank. And then later on, I'll be like, all right, son, I'm going to go back to the time when you were five. Now that I've held that time up there, we're going to go back to that time. It doesn't work like that. We know that. Children grow older. We lose that time. Same way with God's word. We don't know when Christ is coming back. We need to cash in now. We need to spend that time as we should. As in Ephesians 5 said, we were redeeming the time, cashing it in now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is an accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, God, I'll put you off. That's not going to fly. Tomorrow, I'll become a little bit better of a Christian. No, that won't fly. Today is the day. Look at it. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't know when tomorrow's coming. We don't know if tomorrow's coming even at all. We don't know if we're going to be able to walk out this building. Now's the day to put Christ first. Now is the day to do what God wants from us. So recall the parable of Matthew chapter 21. Let's go there. Try not to hit it as much as we did before, but it is a good reminder here. Matthew chapter 21, we'll look at verses 28 to 31. It says, but what you think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether the twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Think about that. Each day we live as a Christian. We've already said, God, today I'm going to work and be more like you. Today I'm being a Christian. We've already said that. And that promise stands every single day. If we say that promise and we don't fulfill that part, we've wasted God's time. We're not glorifying God. Today is the day. So we are no different than those Pharisees. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. We often look at this as well. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, we talked about this, about worrying, this little passage. But don't worry about tomorrow. Focus today on what you can do for God today. Again, we need to stop putting things off. Today's the day we study with our children. Today's the day we become more right with God. To each of us, in regards to what role we play, there is a couple of verses that specifically deal with, for instance, let's look at one for preachers, but it could be applied for all. 1 Timothy. Again, Paul's writing letters to Timothy here. I'm going to take a look at this one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and 15. We're going to skip 14. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Okay, so again, telling Timothy, study. Okay, Timothy's a preacher, study. Meditate upon the things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Again, this is more specifically for a preacher here. This is what he's talking to, but it can be applicable to all of us. We need to study, to show ourselves approved. Study, study, study. Another interesting aspect of the worship services or to Sunday school learning and stuff is our wonderful teachers. You know, more often than not, when we go home, I'll sit and talk about, what did you learn today? 90% of the time, it's more what happened in class than what happened up here in the sermon. The ladies that teach a class and the gentlemen that help out, they are a wonderful, wonderful gift. And everybody's excited to do that. You know, I remember being excited to want to do that myself. Everybody kind of seems to want to do that. But let's take a verse and we're going to look at how dangerous it can be. A lot of heavy load that's really on the shoulders of those teachers. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "In these things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." We see that we are to teach others. Let's continue on. James chapter 3. Again, it is very exciting to teach. It's a wonderful, wonderful joy. But, we have to understand the weight that it puts on us. It's verse chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 from James. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters." Okay, don't be many teachers out there. "Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." The teachers, there's a heavy load on them. If they misteach something or if they don't prepare enough, it's a heavy load. God will hold them accountable. And this is where this is talking. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man, and not also to bridle the whole body." It is a heavy burden on any teacher of the gospel. You think it's bad enough you got to read every day. Imagine the weight that's on their shoulders. The weight on anyone that delivers the gospel. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12 through 14. I'm running short on time. 12 through 14. It says, "For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." There's a time and place for when you're ready. And that is not, may not miss, for he is a babe. A new Christian is not going to be able to come up front just the day after baptism and say, "All right, I'm the preacher now." It's not going to work. You need time, you need to study, and show yourself approved. It may be different times for different people. It may take a year, it may take 10 years. You don't know, but you need to study. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." This isn't something that, again, a fresh Christian can do. You're not going to get baptized and then start teaching Sunday school classes. It's unwise. It's unprofitable. And it puts a very big, heavy toll on you. And we do not want that. As parents, we have another one. We have Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, on top of all this, we got all this is compounding. These are all things we can all learn and all profit from itself. But as parents, we have a role. It says, "Bear ye one another." Oh, wrong one. That's Galatians. I do that a lot. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." We have to teach our children to honor, to be respectful, to be good citizens. We only have roughly 18 years to do that in. That isn't very long, brethren. The average life expectancy in the U.S. right now is 78 years of age. You have 18 years of that 78 years to correct that child, to make sure that they're going to be a good citizen when they get out of your house. Time is needing to be redeemed. Now is the time to teach them to glorify God. Let's go back to John chapter 9. This is more of a broad congregational verse is what we're going to look at, a responsibility. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. It says, "I must work," and we've already read part of this, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is the day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Look at this church building here. The people may not see it yet, may have their eyes closed, but this is the light, the beacon that's in Davis City, in this Decatur County. As long as this church exists, we are an influence to them. We have a responsibility to teach them, to show them, to bring them to God's word. It is our job. So long as we are here, we need to keep doing it. We need to keep spending our time properly in a point that is glorifying to God. It's not just one individual's responsibility. It's not just one person. It's all of ours. Whether it be you studying at home, teaching classes, preaching, door knocking, reaching other people, each and all of us have a responsibility to do so. Again, the time we have on earth is a gift from God. Like all things, we are left to steward over. God expects us to use this in a manner that best serves him. That includes all of us, as we were mentioning. If there's any here that haven't obeyed the gospel, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not a week from now. Don't wait. If you're questioning your baptism, maybe it wasn't done right. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get it done. Get it done properly today. Make that decision today to come forward. We saw in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is the first step of the plan of salvation. We need to be able to hear what God wants from us and expects from us. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 takes a step further. It says, not only do we have to have faith, I'm paraphrasing, not only do we have to have the faith, but we also have to believe that he is real and that he's a rewarder. Meaning, we have to trust him in saying he is. And because we trust him, and because, as 11:6 said, that we diligently seek him, we know that we need to repent, or else Luke 13:3 says we'll perish. And that's not just a poof lightning bolt hitting you. It's an eternal perish. It's not something you want to wait until tomorrow to figure out. All will bow down on judgment day. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. After the repentance comes in place, after the decision to follow God, we're to confess Christ, and he'll confess us before God. There is no other way to get to heaven other than this method, because that is what God has given us. Afterwards, Acts chapter 2:38 tells us to be baptized for the remission of sins. And then Revelation 2:10 tells us to live faithfully. As we've seen, it's not just a once and done. We need to study diligently for the rest of our lives. If there's anything you need to come forward, please do so now as we stand and sing this next song.